8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Week one in the books of the NFL. Which game was the most surprising? Was it truly how Green Bay played against New Orleans? I think you and I both agree on that, Buckeye. Was it the Cardinals going to Tennessee and beating the Titans? Was it last night, yet the Raiders were at home? But a lot of people have the Ravens as a Super Bowl contender in the AFC.
I think the Ravens' defense is what surprised me.
Yeah, how many points they gave up last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you got some thoughts on that, I think, you know, there are people who have talked about the Bengals beating the Vikings. I don't find that to be... I don't think that was that surprising.
Not really.
Because I don't think the Vikings are that good, and I think the Bengals have gotten better. I think when Cody Rourke was on, and he'll join us tomorrow, Locked On Broncos podcast host, he said, keep an eye on the Bengals. He's right.
Yeah, he's right.
Keep an eye on the Bengals. And Ja'Marr Chase, no problem with the football. You're not having the white stripes on it.
Apparently not.
It worked out okay. All right, so your thoughts about the most surprising game from week one for you. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Let's see. From Robert, as a lifelong Packer fan, I believe the morale of Packer fandom is at the lowest that I've ever seen. Our MVP quarterback does not want to be with us anymore. He does not want to be in Green Bay anymore. Why should I care? I'm rooting for the Lions to win the North. Now, Robert, I got to ask this question.
That's apparently not a Packers fan.
Because... I don't. That would be like me being upset about the Broncos and wanting the Raiders to win the AFC West. I may not be happy with, let's say, it's Elway back in the day or whatever. Or Manning, they want out and they're... I may not be happy with my quarterback, but I don't want somebody in my division. I'm not going to root for a rival to win my division, Robert. Even if I am unhappy with my quarterback. I mean, you could have a soft spot for the Lions and feel kind of bad for them, okay? But to root for them to win the division? That doesn't sit well with me.
So, is that the same Robert that was talking about how Colorado doesn't have any success because we like to hike and be outdoors or something?
Mm-hmm. Be the same Robert.
It sounds very similar, doesn't it? My quarterback doesn't want to be here, so I want my rival to win the division.
Yeah. Robert, we appreciate you texting in, man, but come on, really? Really? You want the Lions to win the division? How about...
That sounds like you're a Lions fan, actually.
You'd like your football team to play better, and it's week one, and you're 0-1. It's not like it's over. You got 16 games still coming up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over yet. It is not Bill Paxton aliens. Game over, man. No,
right?
It's not. You lost week one. You played like crap. Bounce back in week two. There you go. All right, 804. Text line's been a little slow today. Do appreciate you texting in, Robert. Buffalo Mark as well. 970-242-1340. All right, it's time to talk Montrose Indians football on this Tuesday.
Time to get in the huddle with Montrose coach Brett Mertens on the team.
All right, joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team coming off a very impressive win against the Durango Demons, Indians football coach Brett Mertens. Brett, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Like you said, a great win for your football team against a really good Durango Demons football team. They were the number two team in 3A. They scored 112 points. They had pretty much dispatched everybody in their first two games and played, you know, outstanding on both sides of the football. All your team did to get to 3-0 was go out and thump them 39-7. And look, as good as your offense was, your defense was fantastic against their running back, who had a 288 yards on 12 carries the past 2 weeks. Shut him down, Bodie Griner, and your defense really did a nice job of limiting what Tyler Harms, their quarterback, could do. Really shut down their offense. It was a great performance by your defense on Friday.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that's one area coming into the year we knew we were hopefully going to be a little better in, and it really has panned out that way, that right now we're getting excellent play out of our entire defensive guys, and they're flying around and making a lot of plays. And so when we play a defense like that, you know, it the style of game we like to play anyway, we have a good shot in every game. So that was fun to see, and, you know, hopefully we can keep that going with our defense playing like that.
I mentioned how well Bodie played, but also your defensive line. Ashton Oberg played great up front. I mean, your defensive line did a heck of a job getting after their really good offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty big up front, too. So, you know, Luke Barney, Jackson Tosi, Demarion Lopez. You know, we lost Rascone in that first game, but you know, Ashton Oberg, like you mentioned, those kids are all big physical kids, and so we're tough to run against right now. And then with Bodie and Austin in the middle, and then you know, Tay Nila and Corey Eckerman playing outside linebackers, you know, we feel like we have a pretty stout front, 7-8 guys, and so anybody that wants to try to run the ball, we feel like at least they're going to have to earn it, and so that's been a real bonus.
Montrose football coach Brett Mertens joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Austin Griffin, another outstanding game. He had 4 touchdowns, 22 carries, 158 yards. But Ethan Hartman continues to be that kind of X factor for you. Seems like he always has a big catch, a big run, a big play that helps set up some of your touchdowns, and he was able to do that, particularly in the second quarter, had some key moments.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's balling out right now, to be honest. He's just playing extremely well. He's playing hard, fast. But same for Austin. I mean, Austin just runs so hard and physical, you know, for a high school kid. It's defense is you know, they might get him once or twice, but it, you know, when we just keep pounding it with him, he runs so hard, it just wears teams down, I think. And then he mixed in Ethan there, and you know, we've got some nice production out of Eckerman on running the ball a little bit on Friday as well. And you know, one other kid that hopefully we'll be getting back pretty soon is the other Griffin boy, Blake. So you know, we feel like we've got some other weapons too, and that just makes us even more dangerous, and we can get more than one kid the ball. So it's fun.
Indians head football coach Brett Mertens, the Indians off to a 3-0 start. And because of the way you're running the football, your young quarterback, Gage Wareham, only threw for 34 yards. Just light duty from your young quarterback when you can run the football like that, and it makes his job a whole lot easier and prevents the gray hairs for you and your coaching staff, because you don't have to go out and throw the football a ton with a young guy.
Yeah, and he's just been really efficient. You know, we don't need him to go out and be 15 for 20. We just need him to, you know, I think he was 4 out of 5 for, like you said, 34, 35 yards. But, you know, when you're completing 4 out of 5, you know, some of those were a big moment. I mean, we've had a couple of those passes were in the first quarter, first and second drives, and we kind of had gotten, you know, maybe we're in like a 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, and he completes the ball to get us a first down. And so it's, you know, it's picking and choosing those key times, and Gage has been doing a good job of just executing what we need him to do, which is really, you know, it's putting him in a position to be successful, which I think is important for a young kid.
Brett Mertens, coach of the Montrose Indians, joining us today on the program. And right now, 4A rankings out. Montrose stays static at number 4, Palmer Ridge, number 1, Dakota Ridge, Pine Creek, and then Montrose, followed by Chatfield, who takes on Fruita this Saturday, Erie, Loveland, Golden, Fountain Fort, Carson, Fruita Monument. They come in at number 10. Now, I want to talk about your next opponent, of course, so we'll have the game here Thursday night on the team. Palisade takes on your Montrose Indians. Palisade coming off a nice bounce-back win after their loss to Central, went to Delta and beat Ben Johnson's Panthers, and that's a really good football team that Ben has again this season. But for Palisade, it's like your football team. It's pounding the rock and playing really good defense. Salen Savalte, their running back, has had a great season. Their young quarterback, Malachi Espinosa, had 3 touchdowns in that win against Delta. They've got a really good fullback as well that can certainly do some damage between the tackles. You know, obviously, Franklin Barks is a really dangerous weapon in that backfield. It's another good Palisade team that Joe Romano has, like I said, be able to bounce back after that loss to Central 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, actually was just watching the Palisade Delta film this morning. So, they do such a good job there of running their system. And don't forget about their big tight end, who's definitely a threat, even though he hasn't caught any balls. He's a really good football player too. So I thought they played much, much better against Delta. And I would expect them to keep getting better as the season goes on. I think they're playing quite a few young kids. So, we're excited for the challenge to play them. It always seems to be a really good matchup, something where it comes down to just one or two touchdowns at the end of the game. And so, we're expecting that again. Palisade is a great rival for us. Since I've been here, I think 3-4 years, I don't think either team has ever won by more than maybe 14 points is the biggest margin. So it's a fun game to play, another rival on the Western Slope, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, you mentioned Kevin Shugren. Like you said, they haven't really been able to take full advantage of his receiving abilities, Brett, but he's also a heck of a player on the defensive side of the football at that linebacker spot.
Yeah, he frankly stands out to me on film, both sides of the ball. So he's a really good football player, and we're going to have to try to block him and know where he's at. But that's a good challenge. We like to play against those guys, and that'll be good for our kids.
Brett Mertens, coach of the Montrose Indians. So we'll have Montrose Palisade Thursday night. Our high school football coverage brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. And you mentioned how close it's been. 2019, when you played Palisade, it was a 21-0 win, but you've won 21-17. You've lost 28-27. The Indians have lost 15-13, a 12-6 win for your football team. So you're right. By and large, they've always been hotly contested, really close football games.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think that one year we actually, the 21-0, if I remember right, that was the year that that they lost Cam Tucker right before they played us.
That's correct.
They were trying to figure that out. So, it's always a back and forth and a pretty even matchup. And so we'll have our work cut out for us again, and it's going to be fun. And looking forward to playing on a Thursday again. It means one day closer. So.
One day closer to a really good game coming up with Palisade on Thursday night. Montrose Indians coach Brett Mertens with us on the Team Sports Network. And one final thing, Brett, looking at where the RPI stands right now in 4A, Pine Creek has a lead in the RPI, but you're right there, right behind them. They have a 0.835 RPI. You're at 817, so you're right there at that number two spot in the RPI heading into your fourth game of the season.
Yeah, and we're just trying to go one week at a time and control what we do. And obviously, if we keep playing good football and winning games, then those sorts of things will shake themselves out at the end. So 4A seems to be really, really deep and balanced, frankly, this year. It seems like there's a lot of really good football teams, and maybe not one or two that are clearly dominant. So I think there's probably about 15 or 20 schools in 4A that have a chance to maybe win it all. So it's pretty exciting when you start thinking, there's that many good ball clubs and maybe not one that's just head and shoulders above everybody else. So it's a good field of teams this year, and it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out. But like I said, we're just trying to go one at a time, and we got Palisade this week, so. That's our kids' focus, and hopefully we can keep playing good football.
Brett, appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Yep, you're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. Brett Mertens, coach of the Montrose Indians. We'll have a game Thursday night over at Stoker on the Team Sports Network, 101.1 FM, 1340 AM here in the Valley for Delta and Montrose, 102.1. You can also stream it at our mobile app as well, and you can get that streaming from the site at the Team 1340. .com. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Our conversation with Mike Rice coming up in a few minutes. Our Broncos report with Mike Rice from 850 KOA, the Broncos Radio Network. We'll have that in just a little bit. All right, want to get to, we mentioned the Chassa rankings are out, and the Palmer Ridge is the number one team in 4A. We should mention the number one team in 5A is Valor Christian. Saw their game, it was an ESPN game They were taking on the school, I think a school from Washington. It was a Christian school from Washington State over at Valor Christian. But Valor Christian's number one, Cherry Creek, Columbine, Ralston Valley, Grandview, your top five right now. Now, as far as 4A mentioned, that Palm Ridge is number one, then it's Dakota Ridge, Pine Creek, Montrose, Chatfield, Fruit of Monument checks in at number 10. 3A, Roosevelt's number one, then it's Meade, Lutheran, Durango, they slip from 2 to 4. Fort Morgan, Frederick, Glenwood Springs, and
getting in there, yeah.
In Palisades Conference, Glenwood Springs at number 7. Blake Neslanek, their running back linebacker, one of the top 75 players to watch in the state. Discovery Canyon, Evergreen, Holy Family, Palisade, even with the win against Delta, they drop out of the top 10. And so they did get 26 votes for the poll. As far as 2A, Eaton's number one, then it's Res Christian, the Classical Academy, Basalt, Severance, then Delta, Platte Valley, University, Moffitt County, Rifle, your top 10. Aspen did get votes for the poll. And in Class 1A, Lyman, followed by Centauri, Florence, Holyoke, Buena Vista, Strasburg, Ray, North Fork, off to that 2-0 start. Talked to Curtis Hinch yesterday. They are 2-0 and number 8 right now, Wiggins, Highland, your top 10, with Gunnison getting one vote for that poll. And as far as 8-man football, Sanford, Sedgwick County, Mancos, Haxton, Akron, Day Spring Christian, Dove Valley, Simla, Marino, and Calhan all getting votes, or all in your top 10, I should say. Vale Christian, which is in the same conference as Plateau Valley, they got 17 votes but did not get in to the top 10. And Granada is your top team in 6-man football. All right, 817, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right, it's time to play Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
All right, today it's Qdoba, correct?
Yes, that is available to you if you're the first correct answers. We're having a little delay in opening the cut. Okay, here we go. We're ready. I need this sports movie.
Have you been watching?
He's put more effort than any two guys we got on the team.
There you go.
So first correct answer wins Qdoba today. 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back. And coming up next, we will talk with Mike Rice from the Broncos Radio Network, 850 KOA. It's brought to you by ComWest and Gallagher's Flooring.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Time to get in the huddle with the Broncos Radio Network's Mike Rice on The Team.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line from 850 KOA, the Broncos Radio Network, Mike Rice. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. How's it going?
Going fine. Hey, the Broncos are 1-0. Vic Fangio's off the schneid. He gets his first September win. A lot of positives from Sunday's game. Steady Teddy. Teddy Bridgewater, I thought, made some athletic plays at times. I mean, maybe not Patrick Mahomes-ish or even Kyler Murray, but I thought looked athletic at times when he had to, was very efficient in the red zone, made some great throws from the pocket, made some great throws on the move, and the Denver defense with Von Miller back to being the Vonster like we've seen in the past. A lot of positives from Denver's win at the Giants on Sunday.
I agree. I thought it was a good start, and I thought for all those reasons that you look and you come away with it feeling like, all right, this is a game that the Broncos probably should have played like this against the Giants team that's banged up and, quite honestly, not very good and getting sort of average quarterback play at best and all the rest. But they went out and took care of business. And here's the thing, Jim. In and of itself, it's not the greatest win in the world. But from where the Broncos have been and where they're trying to get to, it's a really good start. And they need to build on it. They need to keep playing better. All the rest, but for 1 week, that's a job well done.
And I thought the Broncos did a sensational job against the Giants rushing attack. Saquon Barkley, there was some uncertainty how much he would play or if he'd play at all. Denver slowed him down. Former Bronco Devontae Booker, they slowed him down. I think they held the New York Giants to about 60 yards rushing in that game. And so that put the pressure on Daniel Jones to try to go out and move the sticks. And you know, Denver's able to force the turnover, the fumble on Jones that led to a score. I thought that the Denver defense, particularly the run defense, played really well on Sunday.
I agree, and I would expect that to be a common theme. I would hope so anyway, because, you know, even again this week, they're going to face a team that, you know, no disrespect to Trevor Lawrence, but he's going to be in game two of his NFL career, and I think you'd like him to have the ball in his hands and forcing him to throw. Yeah, they need to stop the run. I would expect them to be a good run-stopping team, stout up front. They've got speed throughout that defense. They've got defensive backs who can rally to the football, you know, once they know it's a running play. You would have expected that against the Giants team that was beat up front. And as you said, Saquon not yet himself and not back to full strength, and a quarterback that has not been great, shall we say, by any stretch. But again, you still have to go out and do it. And all you can do in the first week is dominate an inferior opponent. And the Broncos clearly showed that the Giants were an inferior opponent on both sides of the ball. And I thought that's a good sign. It's not the end of the story. We all know that. They have to get better. They have to keep progressing. They got a long way to go. But all they can do is take the first step. And it was a good first step. There's no question. If you're a Broncos fan, I don't know why you wouldn't be happy with some of the things they got done and how they played. And Jim, we talk about this all the time. It's not just what the result is, it's how you get to that result. When you look at the body of work in that game and the way that game unfolded, the Broncos got better as the game went on, made more plays, and they played pretty well. Again, it's a Giants team that isn't that great. Everybody acknowledges that, but they still went out and took care of business, and that's a step forward for the Broncos.
Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Broncos Radio Network, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And I think if things continue to go the way they are, Denver might have the best 1-2 punch at tight end. And Noah Fant, who had, I thought, a really solid game, Albert Okwuegbunam, who, yes, he did have the fumble inside the five, but he also caught a touchdown pass as well. They might have the two best young tight ends in football on this roster right now, Mike.
They might. You're right. And again, it's going to be fun to see how, number one, things unfold. Number two, how those guys develop. Number three, how Pat Shurmur uses them in the offense. And then number four, how Teddy might use them on the fly, so to speak, if plays break down. I mean, there's a lot to like with both those guys. You know, the fumble's bad. We know that. They were able to get away with it. He can learn his lesson in a win. But you know that's something that Albert knows he can't do. And it was obviously a big play when it happened. But again, the Broncos made it such that it wasn't a big play in the game. How many times have we sat here after losses saying, oh, that one play, if he just hadn't have fumbled that one time near the goal line? And that was really not only a big play, but a turning point, and the Broncos go on to lose. So I love those two tight ends. They're both very athletic. I think they're both willing enough blockers. And I don't know why those two guys wouldn't be weapons for Teddy moving forward.
Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Broncos Radio Network, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Is there one thing that was a negative for you from that game that was troubling in regard to what you saw on Sunday, Mike?
I was just so excited to see them make plays. I think more than anything, I just want to see them take the next step, right? You always want to the fumble at the goal line, we just talked about it. You don't want to see that. There were some plays the Giants made, and I just went, oh, man, that shouldn't happen. That can't happen. But no, I mean, I liked what they did. I liked how they got better through the game, Jim. I mean, they started a little bit slowly, grabbed the lead, and then were able to pull away. I thought, to flip it a little on you, it's not your question, but, I mean, the run by Gordon was just tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a backbreaker kind of play, and the Broncos have missed those kind of plays. We've talked all about the skill guys and the explosive plays and where have they been. That's something that came to the fore. I mean, moving forward, I think you want to see more impactful plays on defense, i.e. takeaways, right? I mean, that's that's something that's going to be something to watch all season long. And you always, I think, want to see more of those. I guess maybe that would be on the list to answer your question.
Mike Rice, 850 KOA Broncos Radio Network, with us on the Team Sports Network. And we'll talk more about Jacksonville on Thursday, Mike. But let's flip it over to baseball. The Rockies had the off day yesterday. A rare road series win. They win a road series at Philadelphia. And Garrett Hampson had the big Sunday with a couple of bombs and drove in all the runs for the Rockies. Now they head to Atlanta to take on the Braves. And Rockies played really well against the Braves when they met each other over at Coors Field. And Buckeye, you were talking about this the other day, and we were discussing this on the program, that if the Rockies are playing in the National League East,
they're like five games back.
Yeah,
they're third place.
They're in the thick of it. Certainly more than they are right now in the National League West. But if you think about it, if they were in that division, can we move them to the National League East maybe for next season? Because they would be in the conversation right now.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Jim, because I mean, if you look at the whole landscape of baseball with the new CBA being negotiated and expansion, I think, very much on the table after COVID. And the reason I say that is because if the owners let in two more teams, that's a windfall on the league fees, right? So each team is going to clear, I mean, who knows what it would be, maybe $100 million each or something like that. I mean, the money is just enormous that each of the expansion teams would pay to be in, and the other owners would benefit from that. So I think expansion's a real possibility, as would be realignment. And there's real talk that, you know, I think the Rockies could wind up in more of a central type of division with a lot of teams that are in the middle part of the country. And while, yes, there's the Cubs and the Cardinals and teams that do spend money, it's just not the same level as the Padres, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, a lot of the teams on the coast. So it's funny you mention that, because I think it's really possible that the Rockies could find themselves realigned at some point in the near future. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it does, I think it would really help them compete better. Again, not to say that the Brewers aren't competitive. They are. But it's just different, man. When you're in the same division with the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres, that's a tough one to crack right there. There's just no two ways about it. That's not an excuse, but there's just no question that the Rockies aren't going to spend to the level that those three teams are going to spend. They just aren't.
So are you hearing some things that expansion might be a possibility and realignment might happen again?
I don't want to mischaracterize this. Okay. I think it's more just sort of, excuse me, talking amongst ourselves, but I do think that realignment, certainly realignment / expansion, is something that's going to be talked about in this CBA. In fact, part of me would be a little bit surprised if they didn't expand by a couple of teams. And if they do, then the natural next step is, okay, where are those teams, and how does that affect a couple of things? The whole picture of the way baseball is aligned right now, and two, what does that do for the postseason setup, and how could that potentially change? So I think a lot of things are on the table. Jim, I think this is going to be a really interesting offseason. I would be stunned, quite honestly, if the regular season or spring training started on time next year. I mean, how often do baseball negotiations go well and smoothly? Not very. I guess we're going to have to wait and see, as they say. But I would be stunned if it were just a ho-hum, you know, cookie cutter, everything's the same type of CBA. I don't see that happening at all. In fact, I think it's pretty much given that the DH will be in the National League. So that makes it even more imperative to me for the Rockies to, number one, re-up with CJ Cron. And I think they'll get a deal done there. I really do. I think CJ wants to stay. I know the Rockies have interest in bringing him back. I don't think it's out of the question that Trevor Story is back. Although it's not a given by any stretch, I think it's certainly possible. But if Story goes and Cron stays, then the Rockies are going to need two to three bats, and you know they've got to re-sign John Gray, which I would fully expect to get done, and then they got to figure out how to fix that bullpen. Jim, there's a lot more pieces there than a lot of people want to give them credit for. And when you have a starting rotation with that five, assuming they re-sign John, that's a really, really good foundation to start from.
Mike Rice joining us. One more question on the possible future of baseball. With the probable, like you mentioned, universal DH and maybe going to 32 teams, there are some dark corners of the internet where people speak in hushed tones about scrapping the leagues as they're known now. What are your thoughts on maybe doing that?
I'm sorry, Buckeye, I didn't follow the question. Scrapping
the National and American League, like the AL East would be Mets, Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
I see what you're saying, right. I have not heard that, and I try to stay away from those dark corners. But
smart.
Look, nothing would surprise me at some level. I don't know that the owners are quite ready to completely flip over a lot of the traditions. I mean, you still have interleague play, and interleague play is sort of bent towards keeping certain geographical rivalries that normally wouldn't be played if you were just going strictly by what division should be playing what division, right, in any particular year. And teams like Rockies suffer because, you know, they don't really have a natural rival. But, you know, I get it. You want to keep Yankees, Mets almost every year, White Sox, Cubs, that kind of thing. So I'm not saying it won't happen because I don't really know, but I've not really been hearing that around the league at this point.
Mike, appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Guys, it's great to be with you. Have a great week.
You too. Take care. Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Broncos and Rockies Radio Networks. All right, 835. Coming up, we'll we'll have pole dancing, our first edition of pole dancing, some four down territory, also some sound from the Broncos presser yesterday, the Monday after the win against the Giants. So that's all coming up. Do we have a winner yet, by the way, for Stadium Cinema?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Steve, with, I think it's an unintentional, hilarious guess of over the top, is wrong. Chris, correctly identifying Rudy. That's the tryout phase of the movie.
Ends up the real Rudy. Kind of a bad guy.
Kind of a jerk.
Kind of over-embellished a lot of stuff.
Is really kind of more of a fiction.
It is.
Even though some of your domers, that's a documentary, but yeah, no.
Exactly. That's Holy Grail stuff. And it's based kind of sort
Major
on reality.
Major closer to a documentary than Rudy.
Darn. All right. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The biggest game this Sunday is Chiefs against the Ravens, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you could end the weekend right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. You can also put together maybe a same-game parlay. Yeah, and there's some other great games to check out this weekend. Broncos, a 6-point favorite on the road at Jacksonville. Check out the odds at FanDuel on the app. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Just sign up with the promo code KTMM for this Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens. You could win $150 in a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code KTMM so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older, present Colorado new users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
We got it together, didn't we?
All right, coming to the stage, it's Amber. We remember, everybody, $14 kamikaze.
Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, it's really, really nice.
Get those dollar bills out. It's time for pole dancing.
I can easily feel myself slipping.
All right, it's our first edition of pole dancing. Top 5 NFL, top 5 college, and our top 5 cover songs since The Blacklist is coming out from Metallica. All right, so we start with the National Football League. And we start with the number five team in our poll. Number five for me, the New Orleans Saints, after their win over the Green Bay Packers in Jacksonville.
That's a good one. I didn't know if you were going to expand on that any at all. But
I'm just
blowing through.
No, I'm just going to say. I mean, the job the defense did against Rodgers and the Packers.
It's impressive, yeah.
I mean, I guess I thought I had blabbered on it before enough, so I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So I have New Orleans as my number five team.
I didn't want to jump all up and down on you there. I have Arizona as my number five team. Big win. Kyler Murray on offense, Chandler Jones on defense. 5 sacks of Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. I have Arizona number five.
I have the Rams number four.
Hmm.
Stafford in his first game playing against the Bears was brilliant. Rams look like they're primed to be a main contender in the NFC. Arizona's like honorable mention. They probably should be in here, but they're not. I've got the Rams at number four.
I have 3 NFC West teams in my top 5.
Okay.
At number 4, I have the New Orleans Saints, just based on what they did both offensively and defensively. I mean, it's one thing to work on short fields. It's another thing to cash in those opportunities, and the Saints did so.
Number 3, I have Pittsburgh. Going into Buffalo, trailing in that game, got off to a slow offensive start. To me, that's an impressive win. I get it. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh was 11-0 to start the season last year, but they did not look like the same team at the end of the season.
Right.
And to go to Buffalo, your team that played in the AFC Championship game last year, that impressed me. I have Pittsburgh as my number 3 team at the moment.
That's not a bad one. I have the Sunday Night Football winners over the Chicago Bears. I think Matt Stafford, now that he's got a full and complete team around him, is going to show the nation a lot of things that very intense football watchers have known for years, is that he's pretty damn good. I have the Rams 3.
Okay, my top 2, it's because, that's where they finished in 2020. Kansas City, down 12 points in the game to your Brownies.
Yeah.
Come back to win it. I've got Kansas City as my number 2 team.
Really? You don't have the San Francisco 49ers anywhere.
I do not. They give up a lot of points to Detroit on Sunday.
They scored a lot of points, They scored a lot of points, 41 points on the road.
But they also gave up a lot of points, too.
Sorry, I think they have something going on there. I mean, Jared Goff is not nothing either. I mean,
no, he played well. He played really well.
They did play a pretty decent quarterback. Yeah, the Lions aren't going to be great, even though Robert wanted to win the North. But
Arizona, San Francisco probably would be an honorable mention. They're on deck. They're on deck.
All right. I have the San Francisco 49ers as my number 2 team. You've already mentioned my number 1 team.
It's Tampa Bay. I mean, are you going Kansas City?
I'm going Kansas City.
I'm going Tampa Bay.
Browns.
I'm going to look Tampa Bay. I'm they're your defending champions. Week 1.
I wasn't really impressed with that win. I mean,
TB12 still threw 4 touchdown passes in that game.
Yeah. He needed all 4 of them, though.
Their defense gave up a lot, but this is the one week where you are the champion. You won week 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it to you week 1. Now all bets are off as we head into week 2.
I don't know. I'm not sure if Tommy has it. He's got to prove it to me.
I know. I don't know. What has he accomplished, really, in his career?
It's just the coattail rider. That's all he is.
We move on to college football. I've got Iowa number 5.
Of course you do.
Well, no, they're both top 10 ranked. Iowa State, Cy-Hawk Trophy.
Uh-huh.
They go to Jack Trice. They go to Ames. Game day's there. And all Iowa does
18,000 other people.
And all Iowa does just go out defensively, get 3 picks off Brock Purdy. They slow down Breece Hall. I thought either was an impressive win by Iowa to go there and get the victory in a top 10 matchup.
I'm surprised that you have Iowa 4th. Or 5th, rather.
They're 5th.
I'm surprised at that fact that you have them that far down. My number 5 team right now is the Florida Gators. I just think they're playing really well right now early on in the season. They're not the best team in their own conference by any stretch, but I don't know. I can't put Clemson in there because they're they have a loss. I just think Florida's been playing really. Can't put Texas A&M there at 5 because They struggled more than they should have with Colorado. I have Florida number four. Or number five.
I've got
Georgia. I'm jumping up.
That's
already.
Okay. Right. I've got Georgia number four. Yeah, they drilled UAB. Mm-hmm.
But you're supposed to.
But they did what they were supposed to do. You know, JT Daniels got hurt, which isn't good. But I've got Georgia number four.
I have, as much as it pains me to say, because in my mind, my history, my facts say they lost Saturday. The Oregon Ducks number four. Oh. They took advantage of a team that cannot stop the run to save their lives. And they are, I think they're number four right now.
Oh, the Ducks will appear in my top five.
Sure.
They're much farther up, though.
And they're no Iowa, but.
I have Oklahoma number three. When you score, I don't care who you're playing, when you score 76 points,
yeah,
which they did against Western Carolina, and then also toss the shutout.
Right.
Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, I have them number three.
When you score 62 points through three quarters, you're pretty good. I have Oklahoma number three.
Number two, the aforementioned.
Quack, quack, quack. I mean, it wasn't that big of a win.
Aflac.
I have the Oregon Ducks at number two after their win at Ohio State.
12th. It wasn't like they're still unranked going
they were,
into
oh, they were 0-9 against your Buckeyes, plus the national championship game 2014. Come on.
Somebody texted me that. I don't even remember who it is because I've forgotten that person exists. That, Oregon undefeated against Ohio State. Or Ohio State's undefeated against Oregon, and then they lost, and that person is now dead.
You should never talk to them again.
I don't even remember who it was. It's Georgia is my number two team. I think still riding the coattails of the Clemson win, and then you go out and just pound Mercer into submission. I have Georgia number two.
I have Alabama number one.
Yeah.
They thumped Mercer. I mean, they deserved it.
Georgia beat UAB. Alabama thumped Mercer.
Yeah. So those are my top five.
I can't read.
And we're both Alabama number one. Okay. So, with the Blacklist, the Metallica album coming out, the cover album.
It's got some good stuff. It's got Chris Stapleton did a cover. John Pardee, if you're a country fan.
Okay.
It's got Elton John on it. Volbeat's on it. Weezer. It's got some really interesting takes on a lot of the Black Album songs.
So we have our top five covers. And there's a lot of cover songs I love, and I hate to put them in any order here, and I don't even know if this is everybody, but there's so many I do love. But I'll start number five.
Okay.
I've always liked the Smashing Pumpkins cover of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide. It's a song that gets me very teary.
I'm sure, yeah.
It's a great song. It's a great cover by Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins.
My honorable mention is the supergroup Metal Allegiance. They did a cover of Dio's We Rock, and it's got like Alex Golnick, Phil Demmel, stuff like that. A lot of, you know, thrash metal titans in that band. That's my honorable mention.
Smashing Pumpkins is my number five song, but I do have Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
It's Electric.
Oh, that's
Remember Diamond.
Good.
Remember Diamond Head originally did that song. That's my honorable mention one.
I
could have it easily in my top five.
Metallica covering Diamond Head in my top five, but not that song.
Okay.
But my number five song is Killswitch Engage's Holy Diver. I think they did a really good version.
Great cover of it. Number four, people forget that Diamonds and Rust from Judas Priest was a Joan Baez song about Bob Dylan. It's her song.
They
her
song. A couple covers.
Yeah. Green Man Alishi, the Fleetwood Mac tune from the Peter Green days. But the original sucks by Joan Baez. Priest cleaned it up, made it a great song. It absolutely sucks. It goes on and on and on and on. It's terrible. It's a terrible song.
You know, in the
Priest makes it an amazing song.
In the last 6 years of this program, we've mentioned Joan Baez more than I think we really should have.
Probably
and
so.
It's only like seven times, but way more than I ever thought we
would. Just say, but that probably because we've talked about that song.
Probably.
That's why.
My number four song is Iron Maiden version, not version, sorry. Iron Maiden song, Machine Head's version of Hallowed Be Thy Name is incredible.
Okay. Number three, Carl Denson, who does a great cover of the Cold War Kids' Hang Me Out to Dry. Love that version of Hang Me Out to Dry from Carl Denson and Tiny World. Just one out of left field for
you.
Yeah,
I have no idea who that is. Mine's strictly metal covering metal. I have Anthrax's version of Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath at number three. I think the way Joey does that song is really good and a really good send-up to Ozzy.
I should mention Cake, Not our guy cake. Oh, okay. No, the band cake. Honorable mention for their cover of Black Sabbath's War Pigs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really unique version.
Faith No More did a cover of War Pigs. That is incredible.
Okay, number two. We got to move on here.
Okay.
I have the Foo Fighters doing Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street. They do a great cover of that song.
My number two is another Sabbath song, Hole in the Sky. Pantera does a Hole in the Sky, which is really good. The remastered version is super.
Okay, and number one for me? Phil, play it. It's not going to play it. Okay, I know why I won't play it. It's Turn the Page from Metallica, covering Bob Seger's song.
That's a good one.
That's my number one. I think I had to do something that to allow it to play that I did not do to allow it to play.
I like
so,
it.
So anyway, that's my favorite from Garage Inc.
Mine is also from Garage Inc. And there are three versions of this song that I like. The original, the re-recorded with all the new members of Diamond Head, which was put out in like 2016 or 17, which is really solid. But Metallica's cover of Am I Evil?
Great. Is incredible. Great cover. Great
incredible
song.
Incredible song by Metallica, and that's my number one best cover.
All right, so we're going to scrap Four Down territory since we're running a little bit behind.
Okay. I only got one down anyway.
I want to get to some of the sound yesterday from Vic Fangio's press conference. Here's Vic Fangio, Broncos coach, talking about the status of wideout Jerry Jeudy.
He's definitely got a high ankle sprain. Everything else checked out good. He's going to miss some time. I mean, it's hard to put a timetable on it right now.
All right, Vic, so Jeudy's out. Who picks up the slack?
Well, it would be, Tim, Cortland, and KJ will get the bulk of it. And, Spence is a wideout who's up for punt returns. And we'll look to see, make a decision if we bring somebody up in his place.
All right. So you mentioned Tim Patrick got a touchdown on Sunday. Kind of like this guy, don't you, Vic?
Well, encouraging is a word you can use, I guess, but I'm not surprised by it. That's what I expect from Tim. Tim's a bona fide good NFL receiver, and that's what he should be able to do, because he can do it.
All right, Vic Fangio, more from Vic. TB5, is that what we're calling him now, TB5?
Sure, why not?
Teddy Bridgewater.
It's a lot shorter than writing out Teddy Bridgewater.
Vic, impressed with what he saw from his veteran quarterback Sunday.
His efficiency, his calmness, yet his ability to make plays under duress and with improvising. I thought he played very well. And, it was reflective in the stats.
All right, when it comes to the two running backs, Melvin Gordon, also Javonte Williams, Vic talks about splitting the carries between those two guys.
I think it helps, no doubt about it, especially, when it's hot like it was there. It does keep them both fresh. But, when you have two good backs like that, that motivates you to do it even more. If there's a big drop-off from one to the other, then you may not be motivated to do it as much. But we feel good about both guys.
All right, and one final one. This is Vic on Kyle Fuller. That kind of an up-and-down day against the Giants.
I mean, he came up big there at the end of the game. He had some balls caught on him earlier. I think he can play some of those better. No corner's going to go unscathed. But we need to cut down on the amount that were caught on him.
All right, there's Vic Fangio from his presser yesterday. Next hour, it's Mav Day. We'll start it out with Mavs football coach Tremaine Jackson. That's coming up on the team.